from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Royals can't sign Juan Soto this offseason.
Okay. That's just not going to happen.
Why not? Not with that attitude, it's not.
Why do you need Juan Soto?
Who's playing outfield for you? I would replace all three of those guys in the outfield right now. All three of those guys are replaceable if you're bringing in Juan Soto.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a great player, but I just don't know if, I mean, yeah.
You're going to tell me you don't need Juan Soto? Come on now. You did. You just said we don't need him. We absolutely need Juan Soto on this team. Every team needs Juan Soto.
Yep. Go sign once. Go get Soto.
Yes.
Go get, what's his face? Go get Paul Skeens.
No, he's not available.
Well, you could trade for him.
Would you trade Bobby Witt for Paul Skeens right now?
Not a chance. No, there's not a player in baseball I'd trade Bobby Witt for. Not a player. Not Shohei Ohtani. Steve Stone told us that the other day with the Chicago White Sox. No, not trading anybody for Bobby Witt Jr. Not a chance. I agree with Mac, though. I mean, Gleyber Torres, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Jazz Chisholm. That's the Yankees lineup, dude. The
Giancarlo Stanton is like watching Kadarius Toney. Like, he's never out there. Like, Giancarlo Stanton is always freaking hurt. That guy is a walking wound.
Still good.
But he doesn't play. He doesn't play. Like, I don't think you can take away Aaron Judge because they got a great player in Juan Soto. I think you prop up Bobby Witt and talk about all the good things that he's doing, how he plays shortstop, how his batting average is 30 points higher than Aaron Judge, how he's single-handedly turning a team around, you know, in a city around and an organization around. I just think just because he has Juan Soto in the lineup, Aaron Judge was good before Juan Soto got there. Aaron Judge was the MVP before Juan Soto got there. So, no, I don't think it diminishes that at all. I think what diminishes Aaron Judge is what Bobby Witt is doing right now.
Which is a fair point. Men's basketball played yesterday. Wasn't close. Didn't even watch the whole game because I think at one point it was 47-37 against South Sudan.
I fell asleep during that one yesterday, brother.
Little nap day there for you because it just wasn't really like, again, that's where like this team's going to show their talent.
Looked like they fell asleep for a while too against South Sudan.
They could have. I mean, like, their starting five didn't have to play a whole lot, but still, like, Embiid, the villain of the league.
Yeah.
Didn't play a whole lot. In fact, didn't play a single minute.
Did yesterday. Steve Kerr just forget about him too yesterday, or so what? Like,
we bring this up because a lot, you know, Jason Tatum only had 4 points yesterday. Didn't play a whole lot as well. But
you look at that box score yesterday. Not a lot of guys had a lot of points yesterday.
Bam Adebayo, the leading scorer.
Yeah, 14 points or 18 points or whatever 18, it was yesterday.
That was, that was by far the leading scorer.
Yeah,
right. And I think the thing that's crazy is that one thing that I think gets, you know, lost in the orange is that when you watch this team, like, you have so much talent that it's hard to get everybody out there. It reminds me of being Alabama in college football. Like, at one point, I think they had, like, four running backs that all ended up going to the pros that were all studs, like Kamara, Derrick Henry. They had a couple others that are on that team that I'm not thinking of that I probably should have done more research on. But the NBA team, and this is why when people have the argument, and I know the text line is going to get mad at me, but when they say this team is more talented than the Dream Team,
this team plays against more NBA talent in the Olympics than the Dream Team ever did. But this is one of those things where, like, you don't have enough basketballs to pass around to everybody on the team. And that's just the beautiful thing about being the United States in the basketball team is that guys like Anthony Edwards on the team, guys like Jason Tatum, finals champion, not the MVP of the league or the finals MVP, but guys like Jason Tatum, if he played for any other team, is their best player. On the United States team, he's like the seventh best player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we see these numbers and we see these minutes or the points, it's like, yeah, LeBron's going to get his, right? Steph Curry's going to be the point guard out there almost every game starting, and LeBron's going to start, Anthony Davis is going to start. And it's like, that's where I think we get lost in this whole thing is that there's all this talent, but there's just not enough time and there's not enough basketballs to get everybody involved or do all that sort of stuff. Kamara went to Tennessee. Again, thanks for listening. Originally went to Alabama, and he transferred because he wasn't going to play.
Right.
I would have corrected him, guys. Don't worry. I've got it.
Here's the thing about this basketball team, though. It's very much like what the Chiefs go through. Just win and get into the medal round and take care of business. But the Dream Team in 92 set this ridiculous like bar where we're expecting our basketball team now every 4 years or however many years you play on the international stage, whether it's the Olympics or some other international tournament. The Dream Team has given us the impression that we're going to go out there and we're just going to dominate everybody. And then when they don't win by 30, everybody asks the question, what's wrong? And there's no way that this team could beat the Dream Team right now. And as you mentioned, there's talent on all of these teams. Like Royal Ivy's the coach of South Sudan. I had no idea that Royal Ivy was the coach of South Sudan and that he was drafted the same year that that LeBron James was. And LeBron's still playing. Dwayne Wade was in that same draft. He's commenting on basketball. LeBron's still playing and Royal Ivy's the head coach of South Sudan. So there is talent all over the world. I was talking to my daughter about this yesterday. We were, kind of talking about the Olympics and whatnot. And she goes, why is basketball an Olympic sport? And I said, probably because it's the second most popular sport in the world right now, right? Like every country is good at basketball. You got soccer that's number one. Basketball probably slots in at number two right now internationally. Baseball's in the conversation, and that's coming back to the Olympics and that's good. But like all of these countries now that are in the Olympics, they qualify to get there. They've got good players. They've got NBA players on their roster. And it's just the game has grown so much that we're just not going to dominate it like the Dream Team did. But that doesn't mean this team isn't better than what that Dream Team was, because I think what our guys are doing right now in beating these countries that all have NBA players on them is a hell of a lot more impressive than in 92 beating, three guys that are a milkman and a guy that's, driving for UPS playing for Canada. Like this is like legit competition right now. And we're still going out there and basically playing board and toying with these guys,
Speaking of those running backs on that depth chart for Alabama, they had Alvin Kamara, they had T.J. Yeldon and Derrick Henry on that team as well.
That's crazy.
That's why he went
nobody,
to Tennessee.
Nobody was getting playing time on that team. That's an embarrassment of riches.
And T.J. Yeldon was like, a Heisman Trophy finalist?
Yeah.
And then Derrick Henry actually won the Heisman Trophy.
Where is T.J. Yeldon right now?
Not in the league.
Yeah, I don't
think work out.
Yeah,
too much neck.
I've got a hot take for Olympic basketball. I think 2032 the U.S. will not be favored.
That is my France hot take. Will?
Yes, because France will.
2032.
Not next Olympics, but the next one.
So in 8 years.
8 years. Wemby will be 27. They've got the number one, number three, and number six pick from this year's draft. They have a top five pick next year.
Yeah.
They've got other players. Yeah,
I have a hot take for the Olympics.
Hot take. Your fiance needs to move here, man.
Okay. I have a hot take for the Olympics. Katie Ledecky does it the same way that Michael Phelps did it for me. Watching her lap the competition yesterday.
Oh, my God.
She's kind of up there in that we talk about, why do you watch the Chiefs for Patrick Mahomes? Why do you watch the Royals for Bobby Witt Jr.? Why do you watch the Olympic swimming? Because watching her yesterday, because when we watched it 2 days ago, I was like, is anybody else swimming? And you guys were both like, no, she's just lapped the competition.
Yeah.
And
the
then
finish yesterday, nobody else was in the screenshot when she finished yesterday.
And they had a John Madden sort of graphic where they had Katie Ledecky circled in red and the arrow pointing one way. And then it said everybody else was circled in yellow and they were going the opposite way.
Yeah.
So they caught on yesterday as well. It's like there's no one else pictured in the pool with Katie Ledecky in the 1500 meter freestyle. And I'll be honest with you, when I watch the Olympics at night and I see Mike Tirico come on the screen,
one thing they highlight is like the feature of the night is Katie Ledecky.
Yeah, it should be. She's dominating, right? I love domination in sports. I love when you see a team go out there and absolutely just destroy the other team and just, exude its existence or whatever you want to say on the other team. And Katie Ledecky is like that right now. Like, she is just absolutely crushing the competition. I mean, she is unfreaking believable to watch. I mean, we're watching like three athletes dominate. Bobby dominate baseball. Mahomes dominate football. Katie Ledecky dominate swimming. I don't know that there's another athlete at the Olympics that is dominating their sport like she is. I mean, it's incredible to watch. And I the reason I love domination is because you're competing against the best in the world and you're kicking their ass, but you're not just kicking their ass, you're taking their names as well. I mean, like, you are going head to head with the other greatest athletes in the world at that exact sport, and you're winning by 17 seconds. Like, that's one of the more wow moments that I've ever seen in sports, to go out there. It's not like you beat the White Sox, right? You went out there and you beat everybody else on the world level that's supposed to be like your equal, and you just crushed them. I've never seen anything like this. It's unbelievable, man.
A bona fide stud and a certified G is what Katie Ledecky is.
She is awesome.
Speaking of a bona fide stud, we talked to our bona fide stud that we do every single Thursday on this show at 7:15, Ben Maller. He'll join the show that is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Find Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, and Dusty Likens here on 610 Sports Radio. Ben Maller joins us next. Back in on Fesco in the Morning. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. Damn glad to have you on a Thursday. It is calm after the storm.
I guess, huh?
Normally it's calm before the storm. I didn't even know there was a storm last night.
Neither did I. Slept right through that sucker.
Woke up this morning, had about 18 notifications from WeatherBug saying lightning is close to you. Couldn't tell.
Yeah. You better run.
Yeah, right.
And turn your notifications off.
But it is that time on a Thursday that we are joined by our friend Ben Maller here on Fesco in the Morning.
Yeah, Fox Sports Radio, of course, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, we've got it tonight. It's the big game, the Hall of Fame game. How much of this thing are you going to be dialed into, my man?
Yeah, so I have a tradition. It's good to be out with you guys again, but I have a tradition. What I do is I tune in for the open, the broadcaster's open. It's on, I think it's on ABC, so you got, I'm assuming Buck and Aikman will be there. So you watch the opening part of the game where they hype up the Bears and talk about how Caleb Williams is going to be God's gift to the NFL, and the Texans are one of the darlings now because they've got their forever quarterback and all that on the other side. And then I'll watch one series and I'm out, and I'll go watch a baseball game. So I'll get a little vibe, like the whole helmets hitting each other and all that, and I'm gone. I'm out. I'll flip on. I don't know. I don't even know who's playing in baseball tonight, but I'll flip over to that. I'll find a game, and that's what I'll be watching. So what about you? What's your strategy for this?
Pretty much the same for me. I mean, we got the Royals in a pennant race now, so every Royals game is kind of must-see TV because Bobby Witt Jr. is pretty darn good. And Caleb Williams isn't even playing in the game tonight. Like, the Bears are rolling nobody out there. So I figure I'll do one series of each team. One series on offense for Houston, one series on offense for the Bears, and then I'm going to skate. Dusty, what do you got going on?
I'm going to watch absolutely none of it. Nobody's playing. Yeah. Nobody cares who the backup for the Bears is. Nobody cares about DJ Moore's backup. I'm like you, Ben. I'll watch probably during a Royals commercial. I'll probably check it out for, like, see if there's some new graphic or get on X or whatever to see what people are bitching about, because I'm sure somebody's going to say, oh, the new score graphic, I can't tell what it says. So I'm going to look and see what the new template is for football. But like Bob said, man, like, we're in a pennant race. We're the best player in baseball in the entire world. So, like, I've been bitten by the bug. I'm Royals addicted. And let me pump the brakes on football, because right. I just watched a video yesterday where I could have sworn Mahomes was playing football in Nebraska. And I've yet to comprehend what I saw yesterday.
That was nuts. I saw that when I woke up.
I don't know what it is.
No, I woke up in the afternoon. Somebody sent me that. It wasn't Bob who said it. Somebody else sent it to me. I was like, wow, he's so good. He can play college football still. And he left. That is nuts. Like, that is, what are you doing? I know he supposedly knows Mahomes or something like that. But, Eddie, what are you? And this guy's a five-star quarterback at Nebraska.
Same movements, same hand clap, same number, same haircut, same glasses, same skin tone. Like, I don't, it's just, it's like, I watch this and I'm like, Is this a simulation? Like, I had questions.
He won Halloween. He's ready.
It's over.
He's got to get the 15 jersey. In fact, when I saw the photo, there was a woman walking behind him. I was like, what is that about? Like, I don't know. Like, why is she with Mahomes? You know, it's like very odd. You're wearing a Nebraska shirt.
Right. This
makes sense.
Well, I think in a situation like that, though, like, doesn't Patrick Mahomes have to get like a restraining order against that guy? Like, that's almost too creepy, right? Like, that's almost like, okay, bro, like, you've really overstepped your bounds on this one.
Yeah, like, we've all looked up to people. When I was a kid and, you know, growing up, and I loved radio, I loved Howard Stern, right, before he changed his ways. But I didn't dress like him. I didn't, like, put the, you know, back when I had the big hair, I didn't grow it out or anything like that, so... That's a little much. That's you might want to have a talk if you're the coach over there at Nebraska. You might say, that's reel it back in, you know. Be yourself. You can play like Mahomes, but you don't have to like look like him.
Yeah, really creepy. Ben Maller with us here on 610 Sports Radio. And, you know, speaking of creepy, the Caleb Williams love tonight is probably going to be over the top creepy. I'm not a believer. I'm not a buyer. I don't think he's going to be a good quarterback, you know, in the NFL. But it feels like that's the guy this year that the league is pushing on us. Why is he the guy that they're pushing on us this year?
Well, this is the new number one pick, right? We are the number one. It's all about the number one pick. And he's a guy 2 years ago. We started hearing about this guy 2 or 3 years ago. We've been hearing about Caleb Williams is going to be the next great NFL quarterback. So now he gets his opportunity. I agree with you. My default position on these rookie quarterbacks is always that guy's going to stink until I see something. And then I'm like, okay. Like C.J. Stroud, I thought he would be okay, but he was much better than I thought for the Texans. He's also going to get hyped up because according to the gambling market, he's getting – either more bets or close to as many bets as Mahomes for the MVP in the NFL this year. Like, people are really riding the magic carpet for C.J. Stroud that he's going to be the guy in Houston. So both quarterbacks are going to get hyped up tonight. But Caleb Williams, like, the stories we heard when he was here in L.A. at SC, the stuff that went on, that's not going to fly in the NFL. And not when you haven't done it yet. Like, if he had established him as a great player, sure, but he hasn't done anything in the NFL. And from what I know from the outside, the way the locker room culture works, they're not going to buy into that. They're going to be like, what is wrong with you, dude? You haven't done anything yet. So it's going to be a mess. But maybe we'll be wrong. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. We could talk Caleb Williams probably for 3 hours if we really wanted to. I think he gets kind of an unfair – I think it's an unfair look at it. I mean, look, they did the same thing to C.J. Stroud that they're doing to Caleb Williams, right? They're building a ton of weapons behind a guy who's still on a rookie deal, which C.J. Stroud will probably get a contract next year. They have Tank Dell, Nico Collins. They went and got Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon. Chicago did the same thing. It's almost like if he does fail, it would almost seem to me like it would be damn near impossible because you have Keenan Allen, D.J. Moore, Romeo Odunze. They've got a good team. DeAndre Swift, I believe, is out there now as well. So I feel like he gets an unfair rap because of where he's been or maybe how, you know, colorful he is with his personality. I understand that, you know more than I do. Being out in L.A., he had his own private loft, and a lot of people probably look at that as like, oh, what has this guy done? He's only been in college football. He's whatever. But I think he does kind of get an unfair toe of the slab, if you want to use a pitcher reference there. But I think that he's going to be better than most people think. The thing I don't agree with is I don't see the Bears being like 9-8. I see them being like a 8-9 sort of team. They're competitive, but maybe I'm wrong because when Mahomes got in the league, did anybody see 50 and 5,000? So I mean, and he didn't have a loaded offense. He had Tyreek, he had Travis, but it wasn't like he had, you know, two All Pros out there and wide receiver and one All-Pro tight end. So maybe a little unfair on Caleb Williams.
I don't think it's unfair. You got to prove it. And, you know, he hadn't done anything yet. And, yeah, he was playing for SC. He had let me tell you something. Dusty, he had a penthouse, like a condo that had views of the Pacific, the skyline of L.A., the Hollywood Hills. Yeah. Like, this was something you'd dream of if you worked your entire life to be able to afford it. And he was just giving it by the boosters because of the NIL. Good for him, but you know, it's like when you feel like, I don't know if he entitled is the right word, but didn't necessarily earn it, and lost every big game at SC. So
yeah,
he didn't live up to the hype. He was a great player against bad teams in college, as I remember. And he had some decent numbers in a few games, but they lost. The defense was terrible. People made a bunch of excuses for Caleb Williams, and they'll do the same thing. In my entire life, I'm getting older, the Bears have never had a good quarterback. I remember Jim McMahon being good. I went to his Pro Football Reference page. He sucked. Like, he was terrible. And they won. They were the greatest team they ever had in Chicago because of their defense.
Ben Maller with us here on 610 Sports Radio. And obviously the other big story is Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson fighting this week, and the Jets are trying to cover it all up by sending out fun tweets. Oh, look, they caught a touchdown pass together. Like, I think Aaron's going to look at the pyramids as opposed to being with his team. I think, like, there's going to be this trickle-down effect. Like, this is one where you get your popcorn ready, because I think it's got glorious, absolute glorious written all over it when it comes to the drama that this Aaron Rodgers thing is going to, you know, is going to give us. And these players are already not responding to this guy who decided not to show up this summer.
Yeah. It's that old line from the movies. Like, you're no longer, instead of Kansas, you're no longer in Green Bay. Because last year was the honeymoon period. Then he got hurt. And now it appears he's being a royal pain in the tuchus. Now, some of this is just training camp. Like, that's just what happens. Like, people get into fights and everything gets documented now and people disagree. And, like, I don't remember as many cameras, you know, 20 years ago. Obviously, they weren't at training camp. Everyone's got a camera right now. But, yeah, you get the sense watching the Jets, they're not going to be that good. And then Rodgers at some point is just going to have a total meltdown with, like, Joe Rogan or somebody, and it's just going to be disastrous. And he's going to demand that Davante Adams gets traded from the Raiders to the Jets to save the Jets season. And, yeah, it's going to be great for those of us that do the gas baggery, because it'll be highly publicized, because every media company has somebody that's a producer or on-air guy that's a Jets fan. So we're guaranteed to get endless blow-by-blow coverage of the downfall of the Jets yet again. And Robert Saleh will be gone. Joe Douglas will be gone. And Aaron Rodgers will likely be gone. All of them will be gone after this year.
When you look at the NFL, is there a team that you think that by the end of September we're not talking about that we will be?
That we're not talking about right now?
Yeah, correct.
I mean, there'll be. I'm trying to think, like, who would be the team? Everyone's getting hyped up a little bit right now.
Right.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. It's a hard one. I could see. And I rip this guy all the time. The Vikings are not getting a lot of play, but they have a pretty good – supposedly they improved their defense. They have amazing playmakers on offense. Like, I could see them slopping together a good year, even though they don't have – like, I don't think J.J. McCarthy's all that great. He wasn't – I didn't think he was great at Michigan. And Sam Darnold. But Sam Darnold with great receivers, if they can kind of hide him a little bit, I could see them winning more games than they're supposed to. So that would be one off the top of my head. The Vikings, just because, I mean, you have two of the top receivers in football. Even a halfway decent quarterback should be able to win at least, you know, 8 or 9 games with that. If you win 8 or 9 games, you're in the wild card race in the NFC.
You think the NFC North is more appeasing than the AFC North?
Well, the NFC North is odd, because you have, like, the Lions. Are they legit? Like, they came out of nowhere last year and we got the NFC Championship game, and, like, the Bears are a wild card. There's a lot of up in the airness. Like, even the Packers, to me, it's more wide open, that division, because the Packers could go either way. Jordan Love stunk the first half of the year, was great the second half. There's a lot of unknowns in that division.
Ben, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the finals of the dressage at the Olympics, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Ben Maller, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty, with us here on 610 Sports Radio. Of course, you can catch him overnights on Fox Sports Radio as well.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Rainer Garage Door of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Garage door opener, find them at RaynerKC.com. I had a dream last night, fellas.
Oh, boy.
I had a dream. I'll explain what that dream was on the other side. Mac Morey bought Fesco, Dusty Like, and you're listening to Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. Love that little instrument. It reminds me of the thing you used to turn upside down and then turn it back around and all the sand beads would go down it.
Like an hourglass?
Not quite. Are these guys getting ready to swim in the poo?
I don't know. It looks like they were running. I don't know. I think the Poo River swim is part of the triathlon, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know if these were the triathlons. These guys are just running.
Yeah.
Oof.
Is this a full sprint across the bridge here?
Looks like they go, I don't know, they're trying to show us the arrow. I don't want to spoil the Olympics. I brought this conversation up that we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, somebody was mad that we, you know, gave a spoiler alert.
And my
buddy was like, oh, it's the race walk. Oh, those are the Heartland race walkers that I see at the J every Saturday morning. It's these old people.
Compete in this.
You know how hard it is?
Yeah.
So wait, this is speed walking?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, you cannot go over like a certain line.
Yeah. Well, no, you can go as fast as you want, but you can't run. And each step has to be heel toe, heel toe, heel toe, heel toe. Mm-hmm. And they have judges out there. And the minute you miss heel toe, you're out.
Wow. Yeah,
you are disqualified. So this is not easy. I watch these guys and gals at the J like every Saturday morning, the Heartland Racewalkers or whatever they call them. And they're going around the track and it's all these, and they're motoring, man. And I always tell my wife, I said, you ought to join that group instead of running marathons. These people here, you ought to do this because this is difficult. This is not an easy thing to do. And like during the week, you see these dudes and gals practicing this like speed walk around the track at the J. I'm like, oh my God. Like that is like, it's gotta be very difficult on your shins. I would imagine more than anything. And it's not something that's easy to do. And it's not something like, oh, I could go ahead and do that. But the judging of this, I think, has probably got to be the hardest because you're out there on the course watching everybody toe, heel, toe, heel, toe, heel. And the minute somebody doesn't do that, boom, you're gone. You're out of the competition.
And now they have a guy hammering a walking stick to start the 20-kilometer walk.
Yeah. Is that what it is, 20 kilometers?
200 or 20. I couldn't really see. I got mole eyes.
Yeah.
So
I think every Olympics, though, should have something that's indigenous to the city in which they are. Like, they should have had an Eiffel Tower scaling competition, like the outside of the Eiffel Tower. Who could climb up to the top the fastest, right?
Huh. And we get Tom Cruise.
Yes. And then we have L.A., you know, in 4 years, you know, like maybe you try to, you know, maneuver in traffic or something like that or whatever the case may be.
That's
like kind of indigenous to where you are. Because I'm looking at the shots of the Eiffel Tower, and they are beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful things you could ever see, right? And you've got the beach volleyball setting there, and that's cool and whatnot. I'm like, why don't we have somebody scale that thing? Let's go. Climb the Eiffel Tower. First one up wins gold.
Do you guys believe dreams can become realities?
No.
Okay. Well, maybe we can change that mind process.
Depending
for you
on
the
what
next
the couple. Dream is, I mean, you know,
sports radio. But the thing about everything that I talk about when it comes to a dream reality, last night I was laying in bed, fell asleep, and I thought about what a perfect scenario to wrap a bow on in the MLB season this year. Who says no? Royals, Yankees, ALCS.
Excuse me.
It's okay. Royals, Yankees, ALCS, and I'm going to assume, just because I'm a, you know, I guess I could be a martyr in the situation, I assume Aaron Judge is going to win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I want to campaign for Bobby Witt Jr. to win it, but I had a dream that the Royals and the Yankees play each other in the ALCS, and Bobby Witt Jr.'s numbers are far and away better than Aaron Judge's, and all of a sudden the Royals are in the World Series, and everybody goes,
"Oh, we should have voted for Bobby Witt."
Exactly.
Huh?
Did we get it wrong?
Yes, of course.
Did we get
did.
It wrong?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, like, could you imagine if Bobby Witt Jr. goes to New York, and this dream started to build, goes to New York, plays in that sandbox of a ballpark, and all of a sudden there they go, and all of a sudden he starts hitting cranks. He starts making defensive plays, and not only that, helps the Royals beat the Yankees, and then you have the best reality of it all, is that Bobby Witt Jr. then becomes really like Patrick Mahomes and becomes hated.
Yeah, hated.
In major markets.
I don't do people hate baseball players? Like, yes. I know they hated the steroid guys and whatnot because,
you
know, people were mad.
People hate you.
But I don't think it's the same hate as we had for, like, I don't know, like a Tom Brady maybe, or maybe the hate that's starting to develop for Patrick Mahomes. I think the football hate, for whatever reason, I mean, maybe because it's more violent of a sport, is a lot more hateable than it is for baseball players. Like, you know, A-Rod people hated. He was just a douche. But, like, you know, you look at Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt Jr. and Patrick Mahomes, like, they all fall into the same category of, like, they're likable guys, right? Mm-hmm. They're really likable guys. So as good as I'm very distracted by the Speedwalkers. It's ridiculously awesome to watch these people speedwalk. I mean, it's...
That's what I look like in downtown Lee Summit. That's how your boy does it.
I mean, the guy leading the pack is like he's running for a sale at the store, you know, on Black Friday to get that TV for 99 cents or whatever it is. And he's got this pack right. of people behind him. Like, that guy's out to a huge lead right now in this speed walk competition.
He's about to lap. He's about to Katie Ledecky this.
Yeah, he is. But anyway, like I don't think, like, Bobby and Judge and even Juan Soto, you factor and Salvi and all these guys. They're likable guys. Like, it's hard to sit there and say I hate that guy. A-Rod was easy to hate. You know, McGuire was easy to hate because they were just not nice people. Mm-hmm. But these guys are likable dudes, and you're like, man, I really like these guys. I want to root for them. You know, in every aspect of the world, I think Bobby Witt's gonna, you know, develop a hell of a lot more in a fan perspective than he is going to develop enemies once people see him on the stage, because I just think it's hard not to fall in love with that kid, man. He's got the, you know, the mullet going on. He mm-hmm. plays great baseball. He's dirty all the time. You know, he does all the, as they say, the little things. I think America, once he gets to the national stage in the postseason this year, I think America's going to fall in love with Bobby Witt. And I think he's going to be, if the Royals advance far into the playoffs, he will be the face of baseball next year.
Yeah. And I think people in Kansas City are starting to fall in love and believe in their general manager. This was on MLB Network, J.J. Pecola.
Lauren, I think every team to a certain degree should honor the best players in the world and approach the offseason the way the Kansas City Royals approach the offseason. We're falling into a trap in today's game where you either have your aircraft carriers and then a bunch of guys making the minimum. And that middleman is getting phased out of the game, right? If you're not a star by the time you're 30 years old, when most guys make it to free agency, it's hard to get. They identified better than organizational type players.
Absolutely.
That they could bring in that could kind of augment the young firepower that they had coming and build a chemistry and a good team. The Hunter Renfros, the Seth Lugos, the Michael Wacas. Yeah. I'm probably missing one or two other guys, and they're doing the same thing at the deadline. They're honoring
the fact that they have a legit shot at this.
Yeah, driving into to the yard for a five.
Hunter Harvey is not on that board either. So they added two power arms. DeYoung will probably become their third baseman. And they got a quality starter that's going to eat innings for them that helps them with the innings totals that the other guys are getting at this point in time. J.J. Piccolo has done a great job there.
I'd love to see the Royals in the postseason. I'd love to see that that fan base get excited.
So the love for the general manager is here, and also on the MLB Network, as they said that he has found the niche of this team and done it quite well when it comes to the trade. Michael Lorenzen, I believe, will start Saturday for the Kansas City Royals. Alec Marsh is optioned to AAA.
Yeah, he'll get some innings down there and probably be back up before, you know,
just want to revamp his role and let him get used to it.
Try to figure it out, because I think they're going to need Alec Marsh in the bullpen in the postseason. You're going to need as many quality arms as you could possibly have. And you know, it's interesting they bring up the middle of the road player, because years ago, I remember sitting here talking with former Chiefs linebacker Andy Studebaker, and he was with the Players Association at the time. He goes, what's happening now in football is the middle you know, level players getting phased out. You're either going to have your high paid players or your, you know, your guys that are making the league minimum. And that's now in baseball, as we're seeing. Like, those middle guys are being phased out because owners are looking at it and they go, yeah, we'll pay our superstars, but we're not going to pay, you know, an average guy, you know, $5 million a year when we can bring a guy up from the minor leagues and give him the league minimum that's going to produce the same type of kind of results as a middling, you know, veteran type of player is going to be. So that type of player is getting phased out. That's where I think with people say, though, the salaries in baseball are out of control. They're out of control for some players, but they're not out of control for everybody. Still, the majority of baseball isn't making $100 million per year and whatnot. So you have to be smarter than others. You have to be shrewder than others. And I think the way that the Royals approached this past offseason by going and getting some of those middle of the road type of guys that maybe a lot of teams just weren't that interested in, it may reshape the way teams go out there. If the Royals end up winning the World Series this year and have the model of, we went out and signed a middle of the road guy here and a middle of the road guy here and a middle of the road guy here, but together they elevated our entire organization, you're going to see teams start doing that this offseason. It's not going to be like everybody's waiting for Juan Soto to sign to see what happens. They'll start taking chances on guys who are fairly good players, maybe are looking for an opportunity or another, you know, chance to do something different or maybe extend their careers. And maybe you'll see other teams start to sign these guys, because it is copycat in sports. And if the Royals are having success doing it this way, what's to say the White Sox don't do it that way, or the Marlins don't do it that way, or any of these bottom teams right now that were in the same position that the Royals were a year ago? You try something different, and if it works, then everybody copies you.
I want to bring up a text question, 913-586-7610. If you could ban one thing in the United States today, what would it be? Also, people are telling you how to eat your food. I'll explain what that means. Mac Maury, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. We kickstart the end of the 7 o'clock hour. We want to bring you into the conversation, 913-586-7610. Before we do that, I just saw a tweet that said from Uber Facts, fellas, they're telling you how to eat your food. There's one thing I don't like, that's people telling me how I should eat my food. And they said after the age of 18, you should not be putting ketchup on your hot dog.
Yeah, I'm not a ketchup on my wiener guy.
Me either.
I don't mind it, but if I had to do my standard dress, like if somebody said, give me your perfect hot dog.
Dressage your hot dog,
yeah,
would you?
Mustard, the original yellow, relish.
Okay, I'm just as
but I don't mind a stripe of ketchup and a stripe of mustard. I'll still do that.
Yeah, just, you know, I'm not a ketchup guy on my hot dog. I'll put it on my fries and all of a hamburger and things like that, even a bad steak. But I will do mustard, brown mustard, sauerkraut, and that's really all that I need on top of my hot dog, really, quite honestly. Maybe some chopped onion if they have it, but if I can just get sauerkraut and mustard, I'm good to go on the hot dog.
Plain.
Just raw dogging it?
Raw dog.
Really?
Dry.
Nothing at all, huh? I mean, it's better than Kling putting the mayonnaise on that sucker, but I mean, my God.
I honestly would hate that.
Mayonnaise on your... Oh, it's disgusting. It just makes me sick thinking about it.
You don't even need anything on your hot dog.
Just put mayonnaise on that thing. Just so eat. Who said that you can't put ketchup on it at the age of 18?
According to a study done by UberFacts.
UberFacts did the study?
I don't know if they did. Somebody did the study.
Who, though? Is there somebody... Is it credible? Is it like...
Who or whom?
Yeah, I don't know. Either way.
English language is very tough to learn.
It is. It's the hardest language to learn.
It very much is. Let's see here. It's at the top of their page. According to the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council.
So somebody who was in, somebody that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
any person over the age of 18 should not top their dog with ketchup.
It was done by the Hot Dog and Sausage Council. So this wasn't like, you know, some talk show host or something like that said that. That's a council. They said it. So there you go.
And someone has the same struggle I have from the 816. I can never get the ketchup to come out on one of those squeeze bottles. Even the first squirt always covers the dog. Well, or even if you shake the hell out of it, you still get that liquid.
Water. And it's mustard all the time. Any type of mustard that you use, it comes out water first. And so you're right. No matter how, like, and I learned from watching The Sandwich Artist at Subway, you pound that stuff on the table to get it all down. Right. And even still, it comes out with water. So I always take my first squirt of mustard in the sink. And that way the water falls out. Cause the last thing you want is moisture on your bread.
Yeah. You know what that primo mustard.
No, nobody wants that stuff. So out in the sink. And then you've got good flowing mustard or ketchup or whatever condiment it is.
I also love the text from the 620. Don't tell me to eat my hot dog and I won't tell you to eat yours. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I like the hot dog on the grill that gets charred a little longer than it should.
I think most people like that. Have you met anybody who doesn't like the charred hot dog?
I don't know. I don't mind it. It's not like it, like, I don't know. It doesn't taste burnt. It just has like a nice little,
nice,
you know,
char. It's nice. It's a good crisp.
I swear to God, I've eaten a dog that fell into the charcoal and I pulled it out and still put it on the bone. I didn't care.
Yeah, everybody's done that. There's nothing wrong with that. No.
There is a lot of stuff wrong in this world or in the world that we live in when it comes to things that you don't like or things that you would ban. I don't know where this whole conversation came from. Maybe it was something that Bob was just pissed off about the other day.
Well, I was because there are people calling for G-string bikinis to be banned in water parks now. I'm sure this comes from the New York Post. Thousands are calling for the ban of G-strings at water parks right now. So I'm sure there are some Karens out there that are getting very upset that people are wearing the G-string bikini. So they're now trying to get that banned at the water park, right?
So that leads us to, if you could ban anything, one thing, what would it be?
Yeah, to me, it's very simple. Texting and driving. Put your damn phone down when you're driving.
Can't get a ticket for that now.
And you should, because it's as bad as drinking and driving, if not worse, because you're doing it constantly in the middle of the day, and everybody's doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a pandemic right now. Anytime I drive by somebody and they're on the phone, I slam on my horn, and the reaction of the people in the car is worth every penny of it. They get scared. They panic. They don't know what's going on. And I hope it sends a message to you that you're being selfish, you're being inconsiderate, and you're being dangerous out there. Put your damn phone down when you're driving. You don't need to see how many likes you got on your ice cream sundae on Instagram, and the text messaging can wait. Nothing is that important. Pay attention to the damn road.
Someone says from the 913, if you can bend over and I can see your brown star, the fabric is too thin.
Okay.
Lord have mercy. Why do you think? You think they're just banned because, like, husbands are looking at them?
I don't know, because kids. People have nothing else to do with their lives except complain about, you know, things that don't affect them. Texting and driving affects everybody.
Everybody.
Because you are not paying attention can cause an accident that gets innocent people involved.
Yeah, the text isn't worth it that much.
It's not. And nothing is worth it.
And then, to be fair, I had a guy yesterday in front of me on the way home. And he was in the middle of two lanes.
Yeah.
And after he passed me, he's, you know, in this position where I'm like, he's on social media or he's texting. I'm like, dude, get off your phone, man. Yeah. Like, you're going to hurt. No, he's going 75,
oh,
dude.
Oh, God, yeah. I see it all the time. Dude. People bouncing, hitting the median, crossing lanes. And you get up to them and it's, you know, somebody on their phone, you know, trying to say, oh, my God, I saw, you know, an ice cream cone today. Like, stop. Put it down. It's not important. You're out here causing wrecks. People should be ticketed en masse for texting and driving.
913-586.
Including my wife.
913-586-7610. If you could ban something, what would it be, Mac?
This is a good one from the 913. I'd ban people from gyms who don't wipe the machines after use.
Yeah, that's another one, too.
Gross.
That's another selfish move right there.
Gross.
You sweat on a machine, wipe it down.
Ugh. Ugh. That's why I don't go to gyms, man. I used to be a member, and then it's just like people just don't use the little sanitizer spray to wipe.
It's not that hard.
I'm like, I don't want your sweaty back of your head on this like bench press that I'm about to do.
It's not that hard. They've got wipes and things, especially now that we all just lived through this whatever pandemic it was, right? You know about germs, okay? We're not asking you to swim in the poop river in France. Just wipe down your machine. And wash your hands after the bathroom, too. We got some people around here that don't wash their hands.
We talked about videos in public as well. That's one that needs to be banned.
Yeah, watching videos
out loud,
in public.
Videos, get your headphones on. Don't watch it at all.
Right. Yeah, you got earbuds. Put them in. Use them.
You're going to like this one.
All right.
I think we should ban in the United States tipping.
So interesting that one comes up today. Now, after going overseas for 2 weeks and experiencing the way that they do life where there is no tipping, I kind of like that. The guy who stocks the vending machine put a tip jar out here at the office.
Mm-hmm.
Max's eyes just got as big as saucers.
You want to keep going? I mean, he just stopped.
I don't know what else to add. I mean, the guy who stocks the vending machine put a tip jar out today.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And it says tips for vendors. Mm. And there are people putting money into that. Like, where does it end? I'm not tipping the vending machine guy.
I'll tip the vendor if the food he takes out to replace with new foods, he leaves for like, hey, this is anybody's. Thanks for tipping. I'll be like, dude, I'll put a $5 bill in there every time.
Sure. There's something like that. But I mean, like, you have a job to do. Like, I understand, like, the garbage man probably doesn't get tipped as much as maybe he should get tipped. You set him out a six-pack of beer around the holidays or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
You're not tipping your mailman. Like, this over-tipping culture that we're in right now is absolutely ridiculous. And I went over there today. I looked at the vending machine. It says tips for vendor. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
That's a joke.
You've got to be kidding me.
Tip him at a flat rate. Or start them at a flat rate hourly, then they don't have to worry about, you know, tipping. And then you can up your standards in restaurants, and then you can start getting a better fluid way of doing things.
Yeah.
Hey, you get paid $18 an hour. If you can't cut it, then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the table has to worry about like being like, oh, we got to make sure we leave them 20%. And if you do want a tip, you want to be nice. Hey, here you go. Here's a $10 bill for it. Right. Thank you very much.
Like, I go back to our friend Billy Coons, who's out there pushing carts and loading cars at Lowe's. He's not allowed to take tips. And this guy's out there in 100-degree heat loading people's lumber and things of that nature.
No, that's true, man. When I worked at Price Chopper as a young bagger, we'd have, like, the elderly ladies would go out to their car, and they'd, you know, it's just, like, $2.
Right.
And they'd be like, here you go. Thanks for doing that. And I'd have to tell them, like, I'm sorry, I can't do that because it's not fair that everybody didn't get the opportunity to take their cart out with you.
Well, I mean, that's just the way life works. Yeah. You know, it's not about giving everybody an opportunity. It's about taking advantage of the opportunities that you're given. And if you get an opportunity and that Mabel wanted to give you a $2 tip, they shouldn't hold that against you. But, yeah. I mean, we shouldn't be, I mean, over the vending machine guy now wants a tip?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
God. Where does it end?
I think we should also ban taxation from the 913. Ban talking on the phone on speaker in public.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Every time at Hy-Vee, there's somebody on FaceTime or there's somebody on speakerphone, and it's not even about the grocery store.
No.
I told her I wasn't going to come over last night.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I find my kids are they do that a lot. Like, they just get on FaceTime with each other and go about their day and they watch each other. Like, well, you're pouring milk.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't care that Ivy's having a glass of milk.
Good name. Fesco is very passionate about texting and driving. I think he honked at me last week.
Yeah, probably did.
Probably.
If you're texting and driving, you're just being a douche. You really are. Like, think about others out there. Think about yourself. And if somebody were to hit you while they were texting and driving and you're just minding your own business, or they go up on a curb and, you know, whatnot, like, it's gotten out of hand. It's too much now.
From the 816, you can get a ticket for texting and driving, but you can't get pulled over for it. BS.
That's weird.
That is very weird.
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.